Psalm 51, and it is inside the bulletin. I'll do the antiphon, and then we'll do responsively. Yeah, that'll work. O death, I will be your death. Hell, I will be your destruction. And cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my
in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering.
The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise.
Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem.
You shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and full burnt offering, and they shall offer bulls on your altar.
O death, I will be your death, hell, I will be your destruction. Psalm 92. Shall mourn for him as for an only son, for the Lord who is innocent has been slain.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night.
I'm an instrument of vengeance on the wounds and on the heart with harmony astound.
For you, Lord, have made me glad through your word. I will triumph in the works of your hands.
O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep.
A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this.
When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever, but you are the Lord alive forevermore.
For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered.
As my point you have exalted like a wild ox, I have been anointed with fresh oil.
My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing.
To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. They shall mourn for him as for an only son, for the Lord who is innocent has been slain. Psalm 64. Rebellion of the workers of iniquity.
Who sharpened their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their
that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear.
Encourage themselves to little matter. They talk of ladies nice secretly. They say, who will see them?
They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep.
But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded.
So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away.
All men shall hear and shall declare the word of God. All they shall wisely consider history.
The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him. And the upright in heart shall glory. Look all, you nations, and see thy suffering. Canticle of Hezekiah. From the gate of hell, deliver my soul, O Lord.
I said in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the
I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world.
My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's hand.
I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night you make an end of me.
I have considered until morning. Like the lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night you make an end of me.
Like a crane or a swallow, so I chatter. I mourned like a dove.
My eyes fell from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me.
What shall I say? He has both spoken to me and he himself has done it.
I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul.
O Lord, by these things then live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live.
Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the bitter corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back.
Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth.
The living man, he shall praise you, as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children.
The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. From the gates of hell, deliver my soul, O Lord. In Psalm 150. Oh, all you who pass by, look and see whether there is any suffering like my suffering. According to his excellent greatness.
Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp.
Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes.
Praise him with flashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh,
you pass by the Lord. Look and see whether there is any suffering like my suffering.
First reading for Holy Saturday is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, he but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. This is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Here ends the reading. The Gospels according to St. Matthew, found in the 27th chapter. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Here ends the reading. The responsory is found on page 212. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
The hymn is in your bulletin. It's hymn 731.
Bruised and crushed the serpent's head.
the tomb that holds him. While in brief repose he lies, deep shall slumber that enfolds him. Veiled the while from mortal eyes, slumber such as needs must be after hard won victory. So this night with voice of sadness chant thy anthem soft and low. Lock your strains of praise and gladness, from tomorrow's heart shall flow. Death and hell at length are slain, Christ has triumphed as the slain.
Our sermon text is from St. Matthew chapter 27, verse 59 to 60. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Saints Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all include an account of the burial of Jesus. The one from today's Holy Gospel is Matthew chapter 27. Now, when St. Paul is speaking about the gospel which the Corinthians received and which they now stand and by which they are saved, he includes a reference to Jesus' burial. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, it says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In Acts 2, when St. Peter was preaching his Pentecost sermon, he cited Psalm 16, 8-11. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." St. Peter explains that David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh seek corruption. So evidently, the burial of Jesus Christ is not just a kind of placekeeper that holds the death and resurrection 3 days apart. The burial of Jesus is to be given some theological emphasis. There is something unique about the burial of Jesus which bears witness that he is the victorious Son of God. You see, there was no bodily decay. Even the Old Testament prophesied that his body did not see corruption. Or to put it quite crassly, there was no decomposition. The Heavenly Father had told Adam after his fall, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Dust. But our Savior did not return to the dust. No. He was buried and lay in the grave, but there he is whole and undefiled by the sting of death. Jesus had no sin in his life, and the wages of sin could not demand a payment from his body. Yes, Jesus had suffered the full blows of death upon the cross. He had given up his spirit, and then it was finished. But though his lifeless body hung upon the cross, Jesus was not defeated. He was victorious. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, along with the women, took the body down. They washed his body and wrapped it according to the Jewish burial customs. Now, if they had known that he was only going to use those burial cloths for only 36 hours or so, they probably wouldn't have dressed him so well. They were preparing Jesus' body for its return to the dust, and it wouldn't happen. The suffering, death, burial, and resurrection were done for the purpose of saving us. Jesus came to take on our human form, and he sanctified, made holy, our human experience. As Christians, we too experience a birth, suffering, death, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. These two passages which speak of the benefits of Christ's burial. Each of these passages, there are two, that declare that we get to have a part or a share in Christ's burial. Colossians 2:12 is the first, and it says we were buried with him in baptism. Buried. But the fuller passage is found in Romans 6:3-5. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, during this Holy Week, whenever one of the gospel readings mentioned the moment of Christ's death, there was a bowing of the head, genuflecting, and a pause. Yes, that is the moment of death. Nevertheless, the scriptures seem to include in the death the details of the burial of the body. In other words, the death of Jesus is not just a kind of one-second punctiliar event. Okay, he's dead, now let's move on. The death and the resulting burial are connected. I mean, you probably know that there is no burial without a death, and it is the death which results in a body which needs to be buried. So therefore, yes, the death includes the burial. But when we were baptized into Jesus' death, St. Paul lets us know that we were buried with him through baptism into death. So, lest you get the idea that Jesus took care of death in, some spiritual way, but then he didn't take the details of a body and a burial. No, St. Paul lets us know that we get buried with Jesus. Jesus didn't just leave us to deal with the bloody details after he died. He dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. Jesus' gospel takes care of all the details, even the messy details of what should you do with the body. Bury it, Jesus says. I went through a burial too. There is nothing to fear there. Though we die, we receive life. Though we decay in the tomb, our body will not be harmed. Though we bury the body, it will return a resurrected body. Just as we do not fear death, we do not fear the burial of the body. We have faith in the Son of God, whose body did not see decay. Our God will rescue us from death, and not just the throes of death, but he will rescue us from the resulting burial as well. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 217, the Benedictus. We stand.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, we humbly implore you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring the same to good effect through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to hear and keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.